supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Two tiny Japanese spacecraft have successfully sojourned to a tiny asteroid. Let's take up their target on SkyTalk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. It sounds like a high-precision exercise.
Indeed, it is a high-precision exercise. First of all, this is actually trying to rendezvous with and drop landers onto the surface of an object that's about half mile wide. It is spherical, but it really does require a tremendous amount of expertise and technical know-how and a certain amount of nerve to try to land on such a moving target as an asteroid.
Describe the spacecraft.
It is, first of all, what's called Hayabusa 2. It's a Japanese spacecraft that's going out to encounter an asteroid. It has its onboard packages, but then it has four packages that it's going to drop down to the surface of the asteroid. So you would imagine that this is a pretty hefty spacecraft, and indeed it isn't. It's actually rather small. The packages that are going to land on the surface themselves are really tiny. The first two that landed late last week are 7 inches wide and 3 inches tall. So they're like a disc in a way. But this disc is a very powerful disc because it has a number of different sensors on it that will help scientists characterize the surface of the asteroid. But it also has a mechanism that allows it and its brother or sister, as it were, to hop around on the asteroid. So once it lands on the surface, it can do some analysis there, but it has its own onboard autonomous system that allows it to select in which direction it wants to go to make another sampling.
Is there gravity on an asteroid?
Yes, indeed, there is gravity. And most interesting, it's very, 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 very low gravity. So when these hoppers hop around on the surface, the spring that pushes them off gets them up off the surface, but the gravity is so low, it takes about 15 minutes for them to come back down again.
But wait, there's more. This is a proposed round trip.
Yes, the highlight of this mission is the collection of dust from the asteroid itself. And you would think that perhaps the landers will go down, grab some dust, bring it back. But instead, what's going to happen is the parent spacecraft, Hayabusa 2, is going to shoot a projectile onto the surface that will eject up a cloud of dust. The spacecraft itself will fly through that cloud of dust, collect that dust, and then return it to Earth by 2020.
One small hop for a Japanese lander, one giant wave for the Milky Way's galactic arms, and again, the key is gravity.
And gravity in this case in a very large sense, because what we're talking about is a satellite, the Gaia spacecraft, which is a survey craft looking at our galaxy, surveying the positions of a billion stars or more, has discovered this really interesting motion among the stars of the arms of our galaxy. And we've come to learn that this motion that looks like a wave going through the stars in the arms was created by the passage of another galaxy, a dwarf galaxy, if you will, in this case the Sagittarius dwarf galaxy.
Long, long ago.
More than a billion years ago, when we passed by this galaxy before, the gravitational influence of the galaxy caused this wave to get started, just like we might see a wave at a stadium at a football game.
But then that wave recedes over time and it will become still again?
It should, if there's no other effect. That energy should pass on through and will become stable once again, but it could take a long time.
Say, Derek, it's the 60th anniversary of NASA.
Indeed it is, yes. Coming on Monday, NASA was founded in 1958. In a sense, you might say, after the Soviet Union's launch of Sputnik in October of 1957, but it actually was an outgrowth, NASA was, of the National Commission on Aeronautics that was first put together in 1915. Now, that was done because the United States recognized that it needed to catch up with Europe in their work in aviation. We felt like we were behind. So this national commission was formed to bring engineers together to push our advancements in aviation forward. Well, once we recognized the threat that was posed by the Soviet Union's advances in space exploration, remember Sputnik was a very small satellite. All it did was send out a beep. But it was the first human satellite ever sent into orbit. That really set off the alarm bells, and NASA was formed. But look what's happened in the 60 years since then.
In the 60 years since then, would you say that space efforts by, be it Japan or Europe or Russia or the United States, are more collaborative or still competitive at their heart?
They're very much more collaborative. Yes, very much more collaborative, because the countries recognize that we are all spacefarers together, and any one of us could get into some trouble in space and might be able to use the assistance of others. And so we've shared some technologies, and we've shared experiences. As we recognize, International Space Station is a partnership of a number of nations, spacefaring nations around the world, including our old foes, the Russians. They are our major partner. But the Japanese Space Agency is involved with us, as well as the Canadian Space Agency, French Agency, European agencies all around the world are all part and parcel of International Space Station. And the recognition is that going forward, even larger space exploration projects that might take us out into deep space really will require the combined efforts, resources, knowledge base of all of these other participants.
Lastly, let's head out of doors. With clear skies, what's available to be seen this week?
Just after sunset, as the sky is darkening, we still have the big three planets, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, are all there. The moon is in its later phasing periods right now, so it's rising around 11 p.m. and then later. And the summer triangle, Cygnus, Lyra, and the constellation Aquila the Eagle, are all directly overhead at 9 p.m.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.